broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson. This is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
The biggest game of the season is your next game. So it's one possession at a time. You know, every game's a big game.
Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network post-game show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the studio for the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I hit the wrong button. This is not the post-game show. This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Lucas William. Lucas, how's your day going?
Going pretty good. How about you, Zion?
Mine's going pretty well. So we're here to talk about basketball, of course. We're deep into the winter season. First, we'll start with the Lady Arabians, starting at a 17-6 record. They had two matchups this past week. The first one, Tuesday, January 28th, at home versus Shelbyville. Pendleton Heights won big on senior night. That one, 74-13.
Yeah, and of course, coming to that matchup, Casey at 1,995 points for the season, or for her career record at Pendleton Heights. So, of course, she did drop 21 points, so breaking that 2,000-point record, along with 3 rebounds and 2 steals. But another player, kind of her duo for the night, was Ada Hupfer, who had 16 points along with 13 rebounds. So, double-double for the senior night for the young player.
Yeah, it was a real historic game. Of course, Casey hit 2,000, and Lady Arabians absolutely put it on to Shelbyville, 74-13. It's been a while since they got a win that dominant. Now, in that same week, this week, of course, they played Noblesville Thursday, January 30th at Noblesville, and that one was a great game. Noblesville coming into it, barely highly ranked in the state. I believe top 5, if I could be correct. They have a senior, Meredith Tippener. She committed to the University of Miami, the Hurricanes. She's a very good basketball player. I was telling Lucas before this, I think she's one of the best basketball players that I've ever broadcast or seen play live. She absolutely put it on. Pendleton Heights won that last second, 66-65. They've struggled in a few of their late situation games, I think at the Greenfield Central game, and this one was solidified. They're on 10 straight wins, and Pendleton Heights, the Lady Arabians, are rolling.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the score for the game, kind of an update from each of the quarters, and Pendleton, they were down for, you know, a good bit, and it was in that fourth quarter where they rifled back, and some of the leaders for the game, of course, for Pendleton Heights, you have Casey Warfel, 26 points, 9 rebounds, and Ada Hupfer, 22 points, but out-rebounded herself with 23 rebounds for the night. I mean, absolutely spectacular performance, but also for Noblesville, you, of course, have Meredith Tippener with 31 points and 8 rebounds. So, great players on both teams.
Yeah, I believe Ada Hupfer, that could be her highest rebounding of the season. I might be incorrect on that, but if it's not, it's up there. Highest of her career. It was an absolutely insane game. Ada played great. This whole week, Ada has really stepped it up. And when they really needed it against Noblesville, she was there to deliver. At halftime, Meredith Tippener had 22 points. I remember talking to Kellen, my analyst, and said, Pendleton Heights has got to calm down on the fouls. If they don't, they're going to keep taking Tippener to the line. And I think she shot 9-for-10 for the line at halftime. And they did that exactly. I mean, 22 points in the first half. She's on pace for 44. She only had 31 on the night. They really, you know, clamped her down in the second half of that game, and they got it rolling. Noblesville was ranked at least top 10 in the state. They've now fell into 14th. Sarigan has Pendleton Heights rated 11th in the state. Casey Warfel, 10th in the state for points per game. Ada Hupfer, 7th in the state for rebounds per game. The Lady Arabians haven't looked this hot in a while, and now they're rolling into sectionals.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Sarigan is ranked 11th, or they have ranked Pendleton 11th in the state, but according to Max Preps, Pendleton Heights is still ranked 26th in the state. And of course, their last win over number five, Noblesville. I mean, you got to imagine that they'd go up after that, but looking at some of the season stat leaders, of course, as this regular season is officially over for the Lady Arabians, you have Casey Warfel, 23.5 points per game, along with 5.8 rebounds a game and 5.2 steals per game. And Ada Hupfer, I mean, close in points per game and rebounds per game. You have 13.5 for points and 13.3 for rebounds. So, of course, averaging a double-double for herself.
Yeah, I added that Max Preps thing because that's just a little weird to me. I mean, a lot of these sites like Sarigan, they've got Pendleton Heights ranked 11th in the state. I looked at the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association poll, which is a pretty reliable source, and it's you know, they weren't ranked. I believe they had the top 10 ranked. They weren't ranked. That's odd. I'm a little biased here, but I feel like they got to put some respect on Pelton Heights' name. They're playing great basketball. They just knocked down an absolute giant in number 5, Noblesville. And as they roll into sectionals, they've got a first-round bye. They're going to play the winner of Anderson-Muncie Central. They're going to compete for that sectional championship, and they might make a deep run.
Yeah, of course, the Lady Arabians, they faced off against some great competition for the season. And, you know, one of the games that they've won is Alexandria Monroe. Of course, I'm pretty sure they still only have one loss under their belt. And that one loss, of course, coming to Pendleton Heights in the second round of the Madison County Tournament. So, I mean, that's just such a very big win. Of course, they played up against some of the best, like Lawrence Central and I believe Hamilton Southeastern. I think 1 and 2 right now currently ranked, with Hamilton Southeastern. I'm pretty sure they're ranked 10th. Nationally. So, I mean, crazy good opponents. And, of course, that's in the beginning part of the season. So they've only improved since then.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, they will have a first-round bye in the sectionals. They'll play the winner of Anderson versus Muncie Central. That one will happen 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Both of those teams, they've seen better days. Anderson stands at 2-21, Muncie Central 8-13, Pendleton Heights 7-6 record, for a little perspective. So going into that one, they're going to be favored, and it's going to be a tough matchup, but they're likely going to win that one. Of course, just looking at records, you know, analysis of both of these teams. And then on the other side of the bracket, Mount Vernon will play the winner of Richmond versus Greenfield Central. Richmond 16-7, Richmond 11-11. You know, if you just look at records and just put teams in front to see who wins, Pendleton Heights is going to be playing either Mount Vernon or Greenfield Central, you know, in this sectional final or later down the road. And, you know, it's going to be a really tough battle, but these are the great teams. You know, Mount Vernon, they're our conference rivals. Greenfield Central, they've had our number the past few years. The last game we played against them, it was won by 1 point. It's going to be a great tournament. Now moving things over to the boys' basketball side of things, they had two matchups this week. They stand at a 5-12 record. Their first one being Friday, January 31st at Greenfield Central. Cougars won that one 73-40. Lucas, you were there. Tell me a little bit more about that game.
You know, one of the weird things about the game is, you know, you're fully expecting Braylon Mullins to put on a show. I mean, as soon as he walked into the gym, he's getting interviewed by Channel 8 News. I mean, of course, the UConn commit was averaging 35 points a game. You're expecting something, kind of a show out of him, but I believe he had 8 points by the time it was halftime. I mean, he was held to not much at all, but they had a lot of other players to step in, just like Dallas Freeman, the quarterback for the football team. He went 4-for-5 from beyond the arc. And, I mean, he was just shooting lights out. He actually didn't – I don't think he played any time after the second half. So, I mean, it's kind of weird to see out of him. But also Michael Johnson, another one of those players who kind of stepped up. He had 21 points for himself. And Braylon Mullins, of course, averaging 35. He did have 25 for himself. But, I mean, that's 10 under what he usually averages.
You know, you really can't lean into your best player always. You know, you don't want to depend on one person to win you a basketball game. And that's kind of the story for Greenfield Central. Of course, you know, Braylon Mullins, I believe he averages 35 going into this one. And, you know, 25 points is still a great performance, but you can't expect him every night to put up 35. So for players like Michael Johnson stepping up, you know, that's why Greenfield Central consistently has won this season. They have done it when they need to, and this one was a pretty dominant win. And this kind of leads me into my second point as I will preview the next game. Saturday, February 1st, was at home versus Hamilton Southeastern. The Royals won that one 59-56. The Royals, they're not like a normal high school basketball team. Usually they've got one, maybe two guys that, you know, like Greenfield Central. It's Braylon Mullins. That's the Braylon Mullins show. He averages about 35. Royals, they had three guys that had about 10 points per game each. You don't see that too often, of it being split pretty equally between three guys. And, you know, they ran it well. They shot the three ball well, and that led to the Royals winning.
Yeah, I mean, Pendleton has faced up against some of those teams, you know, in various amounts in this season. But, I mean, it's hard going up against teams like that where, I mean, you don't really have one specific guy you really need to watch out for. I mean, you kind of need to just watch out for everyone. So, I mean, when you're looking at defense, you got one guy who's just a little bit off from someone else, and they're able to shoot it. And, I mean, that's why the Royals are able to move around so well.
Yeah, stay tuned. We are going to interview Coach Rogers, head coach of the Lady Arabians basketball team, soon. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is sponsored by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside head coach of the Lady Arabian basketball team, Coach Rogers. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
So you're having a pretty nice week so far. Pendleton Heights, the Lady Arabians, they had two matchups this past week. Won them both. The first one being at home versus Shelbyville. Senior night, you guys won that pretty good. How did it feel? Of course, it was a historic night. Casey hit 2,000 points, but a big win against a conference opponent.
Big win, but I'll be honest with you. Coaching in a game like that, that was a lot of things to manage in one night. Kids on track for records, senior night, keeping kids, getting great reps, kind of going into the tournament, keeping people healthy, getting everybody in. We did not expect to beat Shelbyville like that, so... that one I'm thankful that it was a great win for us, but I definitely wish things could have went a different way for our seniors, because man, once it goes running clock, it's so hard to get anything done and manage all those different things. So great win. It secured us, our spot for conference, and, Casey accomplished her things. I think Emma Roberts had a career night. We were ready to get on and move on from that one.
Yeah. So you mentioned, just a tough night, too many things happening. How used to that are you as a coach? Last year, Casey hit 1,000, just middle of the game things that happen. Of course, you're focused on the game at hand, and it's senior night. You want to honor your seniors, but there's 10 other things happening. Right. How difficult is that for you, and how prepared do you feel for the future, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, that one was tough. On senior night, you're wanting things to go a certain way, and, you're wanting to honor your kids, and, Casey, I think she was 12 or 13 short. If we let her stay in there and get those, I don't know what the final was, but I mean, you're almost kind of infringing on a 90-12 win or something like that. So, it's tough. But once again, I think it was just everybody involved, from us watching film and things like that. We were just kind of shocked at, to hold a team to two field goals, 1-2 in the first half and 1-3 in the second half. That's a pretty good defensive effort.
So you did face up against Noblesville and ended up coming with a very close win. So this season you've seen multiple late game, tense situations. So what does it mean for you to come out with, such a close win like this?
Yeah. I think our schedule this year, kind of helped get us to a point where we'd be ready for a situation like that against Noblesville. I had actually, before kind of, all heck broke loose when the technical was fouled, what was called, I had already told the girls, I said, I don't care what happens either way. If we go to overtime, if we win in regulation, or if they hit a buzzer beater, I said, I don't care. Because we were down 9 at half. They went on a 5 or 6-0 run. They went up 15 in that second half. And we literally, possession by possession, just dug out, got stops, executed on the offensive end. So I told him, I said, hey, we've done everything we needed to tonight. They've owned that matchup. I think the last time we won was like 2010 or 2011. And most of those scores have been blowouts. So for us to come out and compete, find a way to win, I'll take it. It extended the streak to 11. I think it gave us a whole heck of a lot of confidence. And I feel good, kind of going into sectional where we're at.
you know, that was a big win over a big, highly ranked team. And Meredith Tippener, I was telling Lucas earlier, I think she's one of the best girls basketball players I've seen play.
Right.
What did it mean to get a win over a player like that that's committed to an illustrious school? And, you know, that's got to do a lot for your team hype-wise. They put you on an 11-win streak. What did it mean to the team?
I mean, I haven't seen that locker room that hyped and excited in a long time. And, you know, there was for Olivia Jones to pretty much guard, you know, Tippener all night. Like, yes, she had 31, but I think she shot like 24 free throws or something like that. So, you know, for Liv to hold her, I think, to 10 or 11 in the second half, that's probably a big part of the game. Her defense on that last possession was elite. I'm probably on your side. Meredith Tippener might be the best girl that we played against this year. Just, you know, maybe not as gifted from the 3-point line as others, but just the way she plays hard. She's a tough girl. I'm glad we don't have to game plan against her anymore.
So you and the team are currently on a crazy hot streak with the win against Noblesville. So your next playoff your next upcoming team is in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they don't really have the greatest record. So how do you and your team avoid being overly confident?
Yeah, you know, that's tough. We've talked about it. We talked about it a lot Friday and Saturday last week. We started off practice talking about it today. I think after tomorrow night, things, you know, we'll at least know who the opponent is. But once again, like we, you know, I continue to talk about it with them, but I think this group realizes and they know, like they've matured so much from when I started my first year. They know that we cannot have a lack of focus, and, you know, we want to come out strong and really have a good performance in that Friday night game moving into Saturday. We don't want to come out and, you know, not execute well and just be sloppy. Like, we want to have a really good start to that sectional. So we've talked about it, and the girls know that we got to stay focused and locked in.
Yeah, no. So earlier this week, me and you spoke, and you mentioned that you were probably going to go see Muncie Central and Anderson play. Yeah. What do you gain from seeing an opponent that you're going to play soon play live?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can maybe get some calls, you know, for their defenses and sets and things like that. But I think a lot of what we do when we see somebody live is we're looking to see how, you know, coaches react to situations, players react to situations, things like that. Then we'll also be over there early enough to be able to see that first round game between Greenfield and Richmond as well. So just kind of getting our girls in the feel of what the atmosphere is like. And giving us an opportunity as coaches to, you know, kind of see who's going to be our matchup.
So, in your opinion, is this the best spot you've ever been in as a coach heading into sectionals?
I mean, I definitely think, you know, with the win streak and, you know, securing conference, securing county, you know, you've won 11 in a row. I think you have to say yes. But, I mean, in all honesty, we were kind of at the same point last year as well. I mean, you look at what the computers say, and I think the predictors were about the same as what they are this year. I think the big difference is, though, is just the mentality from the kids. I think our girls are locked in and laser-focused on what they're trying to achieve, where in the past – you know, I felt like it was kind of a like hope and pray thing that it'll happen. And I think losing that sectional semifinal last year, you know, really taught a lot of those girls some lessons to like, hey, it's not just going to happen. Like we got to go above and beyond to get this done. So, I think we're in a great spot. I think we just got to continue taking it game by game, staying locked in and focused and doing what we've been doing.
Well, you got a big matchup Friday. It's win or go home. How do you prepare your team for that? Of course, you've done it multiple times as a coach. This is your third season. But, you know, with the highest record that you've had at this point as a coach, there's a lot of riding on your shoulders.
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, I think a lot of it comes down to mindset for the kids. And, you know, we tend to like to have a lot of fun. Like, we want it to be loose. You know, we don't want it to be ultra stuffy and, you know, be thinking about it too much, but we also don't want to be so loose that, you know, we're not getting done what we need to. So it's a healthy balance of working towards, you know, staying locked in and executing. But once again, I think the girls in that locker room, you know, it is a very healthy, serving of, you know, confidence and respect for our opponents. And, I think they're ready to get rolling with sectional Friday night.
Well, that'll about do it for us. You got a big game ahead of you, so good luck in that, and we'll see you after.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for me and Lucas to talk to head coach of the Arabian basketball team, Coach Buck, break down how his season's going and the future matchups. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by SMB Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road, 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at 1 Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at cowanchiropracticcenter.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside head coach of the Arabian Boys basketball team, Coach Buck. How's your day going?
Another great day, guys. How about yours?
Mine's doing pretty well.
Doing pretty good, too.
So getting straight into it, last week you saw a game against Greenfield Central on Friday night. It's a very tough game. Final score 73-40. You know, we knew coming into it, Braylon's going to be the star player that everyone was going to talk about. But how did other players like Dallas Freeman and Michael Johnson do in that game? How you expected? How did you prepare for them based on how they did? Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know, you have to give them an awful lot of credit. You can see why they're ranked number three in some polls in the state. Very good basketball team, and probably have Mr. Basketball on that team, but you saw that they have great balance as well. They have other players that can contribute, other players that can step up and make plays and make shots. And to start that game off with, you talk about preparation. We started off in a 2-3 zone, not something that we've played a lot this year, but as we scouted Greenfield, we felt like that Michael Johnson, the player that moved in from Southport, was much more effective against man-to-man defense. His strength is being able to put it on the floor and take it to the basket and create shots for others, or finishes really well around the basket. And he was shooting 28% for the year from three and hadn't taken a lot of threes. But he starts the game off and he hits the first three threes that he takes. Not something that we had planned for. Good for Greenfield, bad for us. And then another player, Dallas Freeman, that we did scout, that Dallas can shoot to three. Doesn't take a lot of them, but he can shoot to three, and he hit four threes in the first half. So those two players outside of Mullins pretty much drove us out of our zone defense. Give them credit for shooting it well. But once we went man-to-man, that opened up their offense for Mullins, opened up their offense for Johnson, as well as Willard, who's a very good shooting guard as well. So they got off to a great start, shot a phenomenal percentage. What was the biggest disappointment, I thought, for our team, we struggled with their three-quarter court 1-2-2 press. And that's not something that we should have had a problem with. We showed that when we did moved the basketball, got the ball in the middle of the court where we're supposed to attack, we were effective, and we actually scored against that press. But prior to that, we had far too many turnovers. We had 10 turnovers. We had 14 for the game. We had 10 of those in the first half. And then also, you look at Greenfield, they had 16 points in the first half off of those turnovers. So from the way they shot the ball from the perimeter and turned us over and points off of turnovers, we dug way too deep a hole to crawl out of.
So, of course, your leading point guard, Cooper Sims, is, of course, out. So how are you using players like Brant Gray and Hayden Fox to replace him for the time being?
Well, we've talked about the next man up, and our players have not acted like that they were down about Cooper being out, but obviously that's a big factor for us. Anytime that you're playing games and you've got 20 points sitting beside you, meaning he's averaging close to 20, that's going to affect your team. But I'm very proud of the way this team has stepped it up in Cooper's absence. And like I said, they continue to play hard every day in practice. I think that they've been competitive in games as far as giving the effort, the fight that we want. And Brant Gray is just one of those that you mentioned that has had to step in and take on a starting role. He's had games where he's shot the ball well from three. In the Greenfield game, he did score for us some from three-point range. But then in the Southeastern game that I'm sure we'll talk about, he was only able to get 1 3 in that particular game and struggled to even get shots off by the way that they defended him. Sam Baker is another player that's gotten more minutes since Cooper has been out. Ethan Hannaford has also gotten some minutes off of the bench to be able to get some playing time in Cooper's absence. And both of those guys you can count on to give 100% effort each time they're on the floor.
Now, the following game, you played Hamilton Southeastern, lost that one 77-59. Now, most high school basketball teams usually have one or two people, and that's the main stars of their offense. I mean, we were talking about Greenfield Central, you know, their stars, Braylon Mullins. For this Hamilton Southeastern game, they have three guys that all three average about 10. How used to you are going against teams that have, you know, three people that can get it done, and how would you say you guys compared against them?
Well, I thought it's a great point you made. I thought Hamilton Southeastern's offense was very efficient, meaning each and every one of their players is capable of making plays, making shots from outside the arc, as well as being able to take it to the basket and finish. There are a lot of players that can put the ball on the floor and get to the basket, get to the rim, but you have to be able to finish, meaning you have to complete the play and make the shot. That's an area that sometimes we struggle with. We're getting there some, but we struggle sometimes getting the ball in around the rim. But I thought Southeastern was very, very good. When they took it to the basket, they got it in. And consequently, they had five more two-point baskets than us, and those were basically all around the rim. Another key stat, you said that they had great balance. I think they had six players or seven players that were right there at 10 points or over. That showed their balance. But the big stat, they out-rebounded us. They almost doubled us. They out-rebounded us 28-15. And it's difficult to win basketball games when you do that. I mentioned they had more two-point baskets around the rim than us. They had five more points at the free throw line. A lot of that is about their aggressiveness going to the rim. They out-rebounded us. The turnover battle was even. The three-point shots were pretty much even. They had one more than what we did, but pretty much even. In fact, we shot a better percentage than what they did. But another key stat is we had six turnovers in the first half and only three and a half in the second. Much like Greenfield, started off a little bit nervous, a little bit tight, over-anxious, and we turned that ball over. And consequently, 13 points off of turnovers. So when you turn the basketball over, and you're playing teams that are equal to you or maybe better than what you are, you just can't turn the ball over. Their second chance points, we talked about, we lost a rebound battle. They outscored us on second chance points 12-1. So you look at all those areas where they beat us in every one of those statistical categories, you have to give them credit. They beat us in all those areas, and consequently they win the basketball game.
So you shot 19 for 33 from three-point range in those past two games. So while that is very good, of course, as you mentioned, it is been a little bit of a struggle grabbing some of those rebounds, especially with, you know, some of these taller players on these teams. So with this height advantage in mind, how do you aim to fix that? Is it with, you know, motivation or with, you know, training and practice, or what do you think?
That all comes from blocking off. When you're undersized, which that's, you know, that's nothing new to us this year, and it's going to continue to be that way. You have to be able to block off, create space between the rim and whomever it is you're defending. And then the next thing you have to be able to do is you have to be aggressive to go get the ball off of the rim. Just because you block off, now you've got a race to the ball, and that defender that you blocked off may be able to beat you there if you're not as aggressive as what he is. So those are the things that we work on in practice, block off and then releasing and getting to the ball. And for the most part, we do a pretty good job of that. We shy away from contact. That's an area that's difficult to work on. And if you shy away from contact, then normally you're not a very good rebounding team because you also shy away from blocking off. There has to be contact when you block off of the boards. So that's just something that you have to continue to work on, which we do. And like I said, you have to work on it every day. It has to become a habit. You don't have to remember to block off. If it's a habit through practice and through repetition, you just do it every time you feel comfortable doing that.
Last thing we're going to talk about regarding height. You know, coming into this season, you guys had lost some height with some seniors leaving. And recently, you have not had anywhere close to the height advantage. It's just been something that us broadcasters have mentioned because it's an important part of basketball. Now, there's been games where you've gotten by. You know, I think of a Sean Singh because he's one of the more aggressive players on this team. You know, he gets a lot of rebounds. Same thing with Evan Mazingo. You know, recently, has that just not been the case? Has there been less aggression? Have you played teams with a lot taller, you know, in comparison to you guys? Where has that been at, and why has there been a struggle from that the past few days compared to, you know, mid-season around that time?
Well, I thought Southeastern was much more physical than us. I mean, you look at Southeastern in the JV game, you know, they look like young men on the floor compared to our JV team, and we are a young JV team. But physically, I just thought they looked like young men on the basketball court. And that showed in that game. The physicality of that game was in their favor. And I thought that the varsity, in the same way, they were much more physical, stronger than what our players were as well. You know, you mentioned Ashawn Singh. Ashawn is one of those players that when he blocks off, he does have the quickness to be able to release that block off and get to the rim. And normally he is aggressive going from the block off to the rim release. But, you know, his size disadvantage, we have Sean guarding a big and our opponents. You know, he has to push it to be 6 foot. So that's a big disadvantage on his part. But he is physical. He's the strongest player that we have. And that's another reason why Sean has been able to step in and play the point for us at times. So you're playing him in as a post player, as a forward, but at the same time, he has the versatility to be able to step out, bring the ball up against the press, and also initiate some of your offenses because of his physicalness. He can take the bump, the hold, the grab. So if the game's being called where it's pretty loose and they're allowing hands on defense and forearm shivers, which they did against Southeastern, Sean did a nice job with that. He can handle that type of play. And so that versatility has been big, especially with Cooper out. Cooper's another player that, you know, he's low to the ground, very strong in his legs and his upper body. And Cooper's another player that can take a beating from the defense physically and be able to control the basketball. In the Southeastern game, I thought we had great balance. I mean, you know, we're not winning basketball games, but I feel like if we had had Cooper, which we did not, but if we'd had Cooper, I feel like this team could have won 3 out of the last 4 games we've been in. I feel confident about that. Possibly even 4 out of 5 of the last games we could have won had we had our leading scorer. But I'm proud of the way our players, I mentioned this the other day, I'm proud of the way our players have stepped up. I'm proud of the way our players continue to fight. Even at Greenfield, as lopsided as that game was, I didn't think at any one point we had players that quit. And that takes a lot in front of a big crowd like that and getting down 30 with a running clock. I was proud of their effort. And then again, we had good balance on Saturday night against Southeastern. I mean, Hayden had 12. Joe Estes had 8. Evan Bazingo came through again with 15. He led us in rebounds and also had to defend their best of their offensive player. Sean had 10 points also. So we had good balance. I mentioned that Brant struggled the way they defended him. He only had 1 3-point attempt. He made it but didn't get the shots off. What teams are doing, I mentioned this after the game, they're face guarding Evan, Cooper when Cooper plays, and Brant, meaning they don't leave them. They know that they can shoot threes, so they're making our players beat players off the dribble and then finish at the rim, and that's where our struggles are. Sometimes we don't complete the play, or we don't finish around the rim and get that two ball in the basket, and until we start doing that, the teams that are not leaving those three perimeter shooters, even Hayden Fox, they're not leaving sometimes because he can knock down a three. We're going to struggle to get our three-point looks if we don't start finishing around the rim.
So your next opponent is against sectional rival Yorktown. How important would a win mean, especially considering it is a sectional opponent?
Well, you know, in a year like this, every win's big. So, you know, I mentioned after the game the other night, I feel for this team. They're battling and fighting, keeping positive attitude on this losing streak that we're on. So a win would go a long way for these young men, trying to keep their heads up. We try to keep reminding them that they're playing a very challenging schedule. On John Harrell's website, the stat that our players watch and we watch, they have opponents' records. That's a category on John Harrell's basketball website. And we're up there at number one, and far out as number one. So if you take all of our opponents and add up their win record and their loss record, we lead the state of over 400 and some teams on win-loss. So that shows we are playing a very competitive schedule. Not saying that our schedule is bad. It just so happens that this particular year we're playing teams that have been on our schedule or new teams to our schedule that have very good basketball teams. Most of them senior-oriented teams, and they're a very good class. So, you know, I don't want anybody to be down on our players because we're losing some games against some very competitive teams. I'm proud of them, but a win this week would go a long way, and I'd feel good for them to be able to get that and try to keep their heads up going into the month of February and heading into the sectional.
Yeah, talking about wins later down the season, of course, you guys have a handful of games left in your regular season. How important is it to you to be on a win streak when you hit the month of March and it's into sectional playoff play? You know, we're talking about the girls' basketball team. They're on a nice win streak. How big is it to you to get one or multiple in a row before you get to that playoff point?
Well, I think that's huge. Coach Rogers and I have talked about that, and I heard him on a radio show. I mean, they're playing extremely well. Coaches are always worried about, you know, trying to be peaking at the right time, meaning going into the sectional in the month of March. And I definitely, him and I have talked, definitely the girls program, the girls team this year, they're peaking at the right time. And that's what we would like to be doing from our perspective as well. We have games coming up that we could win, but we very easily could lose them as well. And so to answer your question, to get on a rolling win streak would be huge for us going into that very competitive sectional. And that's our intentions, and that's what our players are looking forward to. I've been able to get out and see everyone that we have left on our schedule in person, plus we have a lot of film we'll be watching between now and then, and we're going to go see them in person again as well. But each one of those teams has the ability to beat us, each team that we have left on our schedule, but at the same time, we feel like we have the opportunity to beat them as well.
Well, that'll wrap it up for us here. Thanks for joining us, Coach, and we'll see you Tuesday at home versus Yorktown.
Thank you, guys.
Stay tuned. Michael got the chance to sit down with Maddie Marsh, a two-time state champion wrestler here at Pendleton Heights High School. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at CowanChiropracticCenter.com.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome here to this segment of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with two-time state champion girls wrestler, Maddie Marsh. Maddie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right, so as I mentioned, you're two-time state champion. Obviously, the first year, girls wrestling wasn't sanctioned here in the state of Indiana. This year it was, and you are crowned the first Indiana High School state girls wrestling champion. How does it really feel?
It's exciting. It's definitely a different feel compared to last year. It took a minute to actually like take it in. I think it wasn't until like 2 days after I was like, I actually just like won an Indiana state title. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And you know, obviously girls wrestling just got sanctioned this year. It's been growing more and more rapidly over the years. So what is kind of your message to some girls who are maybe considering joining the wrestling team here at PHHS?
Definitely do it. It changes you and makes you such like into a better person, I think, mentally and physically. It makes you stronger. It pushes you to your limit that you didn't know you could be able to be pushed to. And it can definitely get you places.
Yeah. Now, who's been your biggest support on the team? I know the girls wrestling team is very, very close. You guys are kind of close-knit. So who's really been your biggest support over the past 2 years?
Probably just like my teammates that are like still coming and supporting me. Even like maybe they got put out at sectional or regional and they still came and they still supported me all day Friday, which was a very long day. And definitely my coaches who stuck it out with me through the hardship and the easy parts.
And how do you really psych yourself up for a state championship winning match? I know that's got to be a lot of pressure. You're going into the final match of your season, and a state championship is on the line. You win, you're state champion. You lose, you're runner up. What kind of do you tell yourself before that match?
If you just take away like the state champ part, everybody watching you and all that, it's just like any other match, and you just go out there and you do what you know how to do, and you set up what you want.
Okay, now what does a normal match day look for you, Maddie? Like, walk me through, how do you get yourself prepared for the match? Like, what do you do?
In the mornings, I kind of just, like, relax. Like, I, like, just kind of, like, most of the time people, like, get themselves, like, hyped up and, like, do some crazy stuff. I'm normally just the type to relax, just, like, be calm. And I like to, like, walk around at the beginning of the day. Just to, like, see the place, just to see where I'm just wrestling at and how it's going to look. And before my matches, I'll just think about what my setups, what am I going to do in each position and stuff like that. And I make sure to, like, stay hydrated and eat throughout the day. And I just try to basically just stay calm throughout the day.
Yeah, no, I probably know the answer to this question already. But what's been your favorite memory so far in your past 2 years of wrestling? It's more than likely winning a state championship. But outside of that, what's been your other favorite memory that you've had?
Definitely the bus rides to all these tournaments that me and the girls go to. They are very enjoyable. We play like we blare music really loud, and we just have a great time going there. So it's probably those.
Okay, now, what does it really take to be a state champion caliber wrestler? I know it's kind of hard for some people to get to that level of wrestling. What does it really take to get there?
I think just putting in the hard work. Like, you don't become a state champ overnight. Like, I've been doing this for, like, 7 years, and a lot of people are like, oh, it was so easy for you. I mean, no, it really wasn't. I've been working nonstop. I put in the work. I know that the work was going to be hard to put in. And I just remember, like, the outcome is going to be amazing if I do this work. So,
Right. And I know you are a multi-sport athlete here at PHHS. What do those other sports really help you with in wrestling?
I do cross country, and it definitely keeps me like conditioned for it, but also the mental part, because during cross country, you really have to like push through because it's tough running 3 miles and it pushes me and also keeps me conditioned. So.
Yeah, I know wrestling, some matches can take a while. It's 3 2-minute rounds that are guaranteed. And sometimes you can go into overtime like that. Have you ever gone to an overtime match like that? I know sometimes even the best wrestlers have to go into overtime matches with someone who's just really tough to beat.
Yeah, I've not a lot, but there have been some matches. I don't think I have this year or last year, but like off season I have. And after that, like three periods, once you go into overtime, it's honestly about just who wants it more. And that's basically because both of you guys are dead tired. You both have done all that you can. So after that, it just comes down to who wants it.
Yeah, and then last question here. You mentioned they're kind of off-season wrestling, club wrestling. What's been like your favorite tournament to go to in that off-season wrestling?
Definitely Fargo in July. It's one of the biggest high school nationals. We go with the Indiana team, and they're really fun. We have like a camp before just to get to know everybody and like get like weight off and stuff. And it's just really enjoyable because the team's like amazing. So probably Fargo, yeah.
All right, well, that will do it for our interview. Thank you so much, Maddie, for joining me.
Thank you.
But we're going to take a short break. When we return, we're going to have the rest of the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, contact them today at 800-928-4001. Again, that is 800-928-4001. Or email talk to feg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Lucas Williams. Now, we talked to both of the coaches. We recap basketball, so we're going to preview the next week. So for the girls basketball team, their next game is sectionals. That will take Friday night, I believe at 7:30, they're going to play the winner of Anderson and Muncie Central. We already talked about both of those teams. Anderson sits at 2-21. Muncie Central sits at 8-13. Both of those teams, you know, they've seen better days. They're having rough seasons, but one of them will take on Pendleton Heights in the second round of sectionals.
Yeah, I mean, things looking pretty good for the Lady Arabians, of course. I think they're in an 11-game win streak currently. It's either 11 or 12. So, I mean, riding pretty high, and against these two teams, I mean, I think it should be a pretty good game for Pendleton. And of course, you know, going to that next game, it's most likely going to be Greenfield Central versus Mount Vernon. So, I mean, those are two pretty great teams, and Mount Vernon 17-6, Greenfield Central 16-7, and I mean, they played each other for the season, so it's going to definitely be tough for them.
If you would have told me at the end of the regular season, Pendleton Heights would have been third in their sectional, that's just a normal thing in high school sports. If you would have told me they were third and they sit at a 17-6 record, my mouth would drop. That is insane. The two teams above them are Greenfield Central and Mount Vernon. So, you know, if they win this game against Anderson or Muncie Central, they're going to face likely one of those two teams, and it is going to be a brawl. They played Greenfield Central once this season. It was decided by 1 point. Last second, Greenfield Central won. You know, if the ref calls a foul, it could go the other way. And they played Mount Vernon earlier this season. It was pretty early in the season to decide. You know, these teams are very different now. They are have different identities. They have different strong suits and weaknesses. They are more seen. There's more film, more game time. This is going to be very good. These are very competitive teams. And the sectional round is going to be a tough one. So, looking at the stat leaders, Casey Warfel leads the season. Stats, 26 points. Of course, she recently just hit 2,000, having a killer senior season, 9 rebounds for her. And, I mean, just bright things for the Lady Arabians. Sorry, scratch that. She averages 23.5 points per game, 5.2 steals per game. Just great things over there. Ada Huffert's recently been on a tear. She's coming off about a Noblesville game with 22 points and 23 rebounds. That's a big double-double. Believe she has 32 in her career, and she's looking for another this time in the playoffs. Her sophomore season in the playoffs is going to be a great one.
Yeah, and of course, both these players coming off of two great games. I mean, Ada putting up 22 points and 23 points, so I mean, of course, looking for another big game, but, I mean, as I mentioned, Pelton, I mean, they're just looking very great going into the sectional. I mean, winning against Noblesville was something big. You know, you've gone into some of these teams, in some of these games, and you're like, all right, you know, of course they are, you know, the team that is kind of expected to win, but, I mean, going into that Noblesville game, you're not really expected to win. Anyone can win this. Any outcome can happen, so it seems like they were just the better player.
Yeah, I mean, against that Noblesville team, you're going against Meredith Tippener, who is one of the girls' best basketball players that I've seen. She's won one state title with Noblesville, I believe 3 on the soccer scene over there. You know, that's a lot of athleticism. She's got an athletic family. That's a very good basketball player. And to get a big win over that, a commit to the Miami Hurricanes, just a D1 athlete that you guys made her work, and last second it was ripped their hearts out for Noblesville. I mean, what a tough matchup. That one was one of the best games I've seen all season from the Lady Arabians. But now you're on an 11-win streak. You're going to go against, in the second round, you know, a scrappy team. And they've got a bright future ahead of them, and you know, a future sectional championship at least in these next few years.
Yeah, but now taking a look at the boys, they do have one game this week, and it is on Tuesday, February the 11th at home versus Yorktown, and they are 5-12 for the season, just like the Arabians. Both these teams also 0-5 in the conference matchup, so looking for their first win each for, you know, in the Hoosier Heritage. So you know, especially the Arabians, just looking for a kind of a bounce back as they enter into the rest of the games this season. Of course, they don't really play up against the same competition as they have, you know, in the start of this season, but playing against, you know, Yorktown, then Mississinewa, Whiteland, Newcastle, Muncie Central, then Centerville. So only a few more games left in the regular season, and then sectionals.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the easier legs of their season, of course. You know, your Greenfield Central's in the books. If you see them again, it's going to be in playoff play. That one would be a tough one. This is the easier part of the season. I was talking to my co-host Saturday against HSE, and both of those teams coming into it, they had lost both 5 straight. You know, this was going to be someone's bounce-back game, and it ended up being HSC's, now Pendleton Heights. They've got a few more opportunities. This is a big part in their season. Can they turn it around? Can they get the ball moving for when they can get on a streak to get into the playoffs or sectional rounds? Looking at the season stat leaders, Cooper Sims still leads with 18.4 points per game. Haven't seen him a lot recently. I believe we are expecting him back pretty soon, though, for, you know, in those later, easier games of this season. We'll likely see Cooper Sims soon. After that, Evan Mazingo, 10.3 points per game, averages 3.6 rebounds per game recently. He's been doing great things behind the arc. So for the boys basketball team, they sit at a 5-12 record. They've seen better days, but they've got some pretty games coming up that, you know, those are winnable. Those are competing games. If they can play to their high level, they're going to win them.
Yeah, and of course, you're just looking for Cooper Sims to be back. You know, you haven't seen him for the past few games, and they've been struggling without him. You know, of course, he's just such a great leader and, you know, playing in such a vital position as the leading point guard for the team, of course, averaging about 20 points a game. So, without him, you know, being in there, it has definitely been rough.
Yeah, I was talking to Coach Buck, and he's like, you know, that's like 18 points on your bench right there. You know, that hurts your team. That does something morale-wise, number one. Number two, that's literally 18 points to your bench. You could use that. That would help you win a basketball game. He kind of said he thought the HSC game might go pretty differently. That's going to about wrap it up for today's Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Thanks for joining me, Lucas, and talking with me. Thanks to both of the coaches for coming down here live interviewing with us. And then finally, thanks to our listeners. We couldn't do any of this without you, whether you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole show. We really appreciate. We hope you have a great rest of your Monday evening. And then thank you to our sponsors and contributors. We literally couldn't do any of this without you, helping this broadcast run smoothly. And finally, thank you to Mr. Watson staying back here in the studio. And that will about wrap it up for us. Have a great night. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Thank you for tuning into the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.